Let me just say that I want to also add my welcome. Welcome to this bright, sunny, warm spring semester here at Union. We're glad you're here. I hope you had a good Christmas break. A few of you were here over winter term, but mostly this was a very sleepy place, and we have looked forward to you getting back and breathing some life into this campus. We're glad you're here. You know, we're only 3 days into the new semester, so hopefully you have not yet failed any quizzes or slacked off on any assignments or skipped any classes. You have not missed any chapels. Hopefully you've not failed to turn in any papers yet. Yet. There is more to the spring semester ahead of us than there is behind us. There's a lot before us. There are opportunities before us. You have an entire clean slate. Some of you are thinking, after last fall, I need a clean slate. I want a new one. And some of you might have come back to Union this semester with a new sense of resolve about what you're doing here. Hopefully you have. Maybe you didn't do as well in the fall semester as you would have liked, and you said, you know, I want to come back and I want to do a better job. I want to manage my time better. I want to be more focused. I want to take advantage of the opportunities that are there before me at Union to grow and to learn and to develop. You're in a great place. For the next 4 months, you have the opportunity to, in a very focused way, learn, grow, develop. And you have a wonderful community that's surrounded by wonderful faculty and staff and friends that are here who are pursuing the same thing, Christian education. And I would encourage you to take this opportunity that is before you and take advantage of it. Now, who knows what we're going to experience this semester? Who knows what you'll experience as an individual? As a national and global community, will we go to war with Iraq? This semester, are we going to experience another tragedy like we experienced last week with the space shuttle Columbia? Is there going to be more terrorism on our soil? As a university community, what are we going to experience? Are there going to be tragedies among us? We don't know. Are there going to be wonderful times before us? We don't know. We don't know exactly what lies ahead of us, but we do know that there's more ahead of us than there is behind us. You know, there seems to be more in life that we don't know than we do know. In this semester, as we launch out into these opportunities that are before us, I want us to look this morning in Jeremiah chapter 35. If you didn't bring your Bibles, it's on the back of the handout that you got when you came into chapel this morning. With all of the uncertainty and anxiety, the apprehension that is in the world today, what kind of things can we hold on to? What kind of promises can you and I hold on to this semester as we enter into these next 4 months? Jeremiah chapter 35 is a great story of Jeremiah and his dealing with a group of people called the Rechabites. And through what happens in Jeremiah chapter 35, I believe that we should be able to draw out some principles. Principles that were true then and principles that will be true for us today. Jeremiah chapter 35, beginning in verse 1. Listen to the word of God. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, saying, go to the house of the Rechabites and speak to them, and bring them into the house of the Lord, into one of the chambers, and give them wine to drink. Then I took Jaazaniah, the son of Jeremiah, the son of Habazaniah, and his brothers, and all his sons, and the whole house of the Rechabites. I brought them into the house of the Lord, into the chambers of the sons of Hanan, the son of Igdaliah, the man of God, which was near the chamber of the officials, which was above the chamber of Maaseiah, the son of Shalom, the doorkeeper. Then I set before the men of the house of the Rechabites pitchers full of wine and cups, and I said to them, drink wine. Jeremiah and the Rechabites. What are some promises that we can know of for certain this semester that we can learn from Jeremiah and the Rechabites? First promise that I can make to you on the authority of God's Word this semester, the thing that you can count on for sure is that there will be opportunities for decisions. That's the first Roman numeral on your handout. There will be opportunities for decisions. Now think about it. This year already you have made hundreds of decisions. You have made thousands of decisions thus far in your life. Today is only February the 7th, but you have made thousands of decisions. Just this morning, you've made all kinds of decisions. You had the opportunity to decide whether or not you were going to get up out of bed or not. You had the decision as to whether or not you were going to take a shower or not. It's very obvious that some of you did not. You had the opportunity to decide whether or not you were going to comb your hair. That, again, is also a very obvious thing that some of you decided that you would not do that. You had the opportunity to decide whether you were going to class this morning. You had the opportunity to decide whether or not you were going to listen in class. You had the opportunity to decide whether or not you were going to come to chapel this morning. When you leave here, we'll have the opportunity to decide what we're going to do with the rest of our day, what we're going to do with the afternoon. Some of you are trying to decide what you're going to do with this weekend. Part of being a human being means that you have opportunities for decisions. Jeremiah was a prophet. In Jeremiah chapter 35, we see him doing what God has called him to do. He was a preacher to God's people who had been displaced from their homeland because of the Babylonian captivity of the 6th century. And one day God told Jeremiah to go to a group of people, a clan, a family, called the Rechabites. And he said, Jeremiah, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go to the leaders of the Rechabites, and I want you to bring all of their people to the temple. And I want you to invite them to one of the side rooms, and then when they all get in there, I want you to prepare large bowls of wine. Put out some cups. Put all of this wine out, and when they all get assembled, I want you to invite the Rechabites to come and drink. And just invite them to the temple and let them have a drink. Well, look at what happens in verse 6. Jeremiah chapter 35, verse 6. He said, drink wine at the end of verse 5, and then he said in verse 6, but they said, we will not drink wine, for Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, commanded us, saying, you shall not drink wine, you or your sons forever. And you shall not build a house, and you shall not sow seed, and you shall not plant a vineyard or own one, but in tents you shall dwell all your days, that you may live many days in the land where you sojourn. And we have obeyed the voice of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, in all that he has commanded us. Not to drink wine all our days, we, our wives, our son, or our daughters, never to build ourselves houses to dwell in. And we do not have vineyard or field or seed. We have only dwelt in tents and have obeyed and have done according to all that Jonadab, our father, commanded us. But it came about when Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up against the land that we said, come and let us go to Jerusalem before the army of the Chaldeans and before the army of the Arameans. So we have dwelt in Jerusalem. Now, why did the Rechabites not drink the wine that Jeremiah offered them? Here, a prophet of God, a preacher, a man of God, is offering them this wine that they should drink. And the Rechabites said, no, we will not drink the wine. Why? Were the Rechabites good Southern Baptist teetotalers who would not have anything to drink? Were the Rechabites those who did not like the taste of alcohol? What was it? What was the decision? What was the motivation of their decision? I don't think it was either one of those. The Scriptures teach that the Rechabites, some 2.5 centuries before, had made a vow. They'd made a promise. They had made a promise to their father Rechab and Jonadab, the son of Rechab, that they were to never drink wine. We don't know exactly why. Could be a lot of different reasons. But they had made a vow not to drink any wine. And now Jeremiah, the prophet, has come to them. He has invited them into the temple, into one of the side rooms. He has gone to all of this trouble. No telling how much time Jeremiah has gone, making preparations to get all of the wine just in the right place. And the Rechabites are sitting around in that room. The wine is before them, the bowls and the cups, and they have before them an opportunity to make decisions. They have an opportunity to decide whether or not they are going to drink the wine now or whether or not they are going to not drink the wine. See, you and I are a lot like the Rechabites, aren't we? Every day there are bowls of wine set before us, not literally, but figuratively. Every day we have people offering us different things. There are many opportunities before us. As I said, part of being a human means that we have the opportunities to make decisions. And as a follower of God, we understand that God is not someone who force feeds us His will. He is not someone who forces us to make the decisions that we cannot have any freedom to make. In fact, Adam and Eve in Genesis, in the early part of Genesis, God gave Adam and Eve a choice. He told them, don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but from any of the other trees you can eat. All kinds of choices that you can have. And Jesus, after He had been baptized, was sent out into the wilderness by the Spirit of God. And the devil tempted Him, giving him the opportunity to make decisions. He could have turned the stone into wine had He wanted to. He could have jumped off the pinnacle of the temple. He could have worshipped Satan. But Jesus made a decision. Those opportunities were there before Him. Three very serious decisions. You know, this semester, some of you are going to make some of the most life-changing decisions that you'll make ever. Some of the most significant decisions in life you will make this semester, spring semester 2003. You'll make them right here. And there'll be opportunities. You'll say yes to some of those decisions. Some of those decisions you'll say no to, but you'll make decisions. Already now, you're beginning to set the tone by how you're going to approach this semester. You're going to make a decision as to whether or not you're going to be as serious as you should be, or whether you're going to slack off. All kinds of decisions. You cannot avoid making decisions. The Rechabites had the opportunity for decision. That's the first promise. I promise you this semester there will be opportunities for decisions. Here's the second promise. The second promise is this. There will be consequences for actions. It applies to every one of us in this chapel this morning. There will be consequences for our actions. Look at verse 12. They refused to drink the wine. And then in verse 12, the word of God says that the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. Verse 13, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, go and say to the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, will you not receive my instruction by listening to my words, declares the Lord? The words of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, which he commanded his sons not to drink wine, are observed. So they did not drink wine to this day, for they have not obeyed their father's command. But I have spoken to you again and again, yet you have not listened to me. Also I have sent to you all my servants, the prophets, sending them again and again, saying, turn now every man from his evil way and amend your deeds, and do not go after other gods to worship them. Then you shall dwell in the land which I have given to you and to your forefathers. But you have not inclined your ear or listened to me. Indeed, the sons of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, have observed the command of their father, which he commanded them. But this people has not listened to me. You see what God did? God told Jeremiah, listen, after you go to the Rechabites and you offer them the wine to drink, they refused. Then God spoke to Jeremiah and said, okay, now leave the Rechabites. And I want you to go over to the folks who live in Judah and Jerusalem, and I want you to explain to them what the Rechabites did. Jeremiah, I want you to go over to those who live in Judah and Jerusalem and explain to them. The Rechabites made a promise 2.5 centuries ago that they would not drink any wine. They made a decision. And God said, I want you, Jeremiah, to go and show those who live in Judah the error of their ways by showing them what the Rechabites had done. That's exactly what he did. And God said to those who lived in Judah, listen, I've been telling you over and over and over and over again. I've sent my prophets to you. It's not because you lack the truth, but it's because you will not follow me. God used the Rechabites in Jeremiah chapter 35 to rebuke those who were living in Judah. Look at verse 17. Here's the climax of Jeremiah chapter 35. Verse 17, It says, "Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I am bringing on Judah and on all the inhabitants of Jerusalem all the disaster that I have pronounced against them, because I spoke to them, but they did not listen. I have called them, but they did not answer." Verse 17, God said, "I am getting ready to bring on the Israelites the judgment that I have pronounced upon them." Verse 17, God says, "I am going to bring the judgment down upon them which they have brought upon themselves. I have sent prophets to them. I have communicated to them my word and my truth, and now I am going to bring a judgment on them." You see, the consequences for the Israelites, because they did not obey the Lord, was the judgment of God. God used the Rechabites to judge those who were living in Judah. God showed the Israelites, there are going to be consequences for your actions. Look to the Rechabites and learn from them. You, verse 17, are getting ready to experience the consequences of your own actions. And throughout time, it's always been that way. There are always consequences to our actions. Throughout the Bible, you will see that many people always bring consequences upon themselves based on the decisions that they make, based on the actions that they commit. We hear God saying in Ezekiel, "So I will not look upon them with pity or spare them, but I will bring down on their own heads what they have done." On their own heads, what they have done. I'm going to bring upon them what they have done. We read in Jeremiah when God spoke to the religious leaders of Jeremiah's day, and he said, "Because you have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not bestowed care on them, I will bestow punishment on you for the evil you have done." You see what God was doing? God was bringing the consequences of the Israelites' action upon them. He used the Rechabites to show the Israelites what they had done. What's the first word in verse 17? Look at this. What's the first word? Say it out loud. Therefore. Now, you know, if you've ever been in any kind of church or Sunday school, you know, you need to always ask what the therefore is there for. And therefore is a very important word. It's a very significant word in the Bible. But not just linguistically, but in life, there is always a therefore. Is there not? There's always a therefore in your life. There's always a therefore in my life. We like to live like there's not, but there is. Yesterday, man, you woke up. Probably the bright light reflecting off of the snow came into your window, and you just had this exhilaration because you knew. Well, you knew that school wouldn't be canceled because we don't ever do that. God himself would have to come back and actually cancel school. But you knew that we might be on a snow schedule, right? That was exciting. You see, the snow fell during the night. Therefore, because of that action, because the snow fell, therefore, there were some consequences that we had to live by the next day. And those consequences were that we were on the snow schedule. You see, there's always a therefore in life. There's always a therefore to the decisions that we make, to the actions that we commit, to the thoughts that we think. There is always a therefore. Paul used an agricultural illustration, and he showed us, he calls this therefore principle the principle of sowing and reaping. He says in Galatians 6, "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows." There it is. Action and consequence, sowing and reaping. The one who sows to please his flesh, from that flesh will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. There's a therefore. There will be consequences to our actions this semester. Yes, there'll be opportunities for decisions. Great, wonderful opportunities. You'll make some of the greatest decisions that you've ever made in your life. But understand that the Bible teaches that there are always consequences for our actions. The Rechabites had consequences for their actions. We'll talk about that in just a minute. But those who lived in Judah had consequences for their actions. And the decisions that you make today, the decisions that you make this semester, may very well shape the trajectory that you're going to experience the rest of your life. The decisions that you make right now may have very much of an influence on who you are 10 years from now, 20 years from now. That's why the decisions are important. That's why the opportunities for decisions are so vital, because there are consequences that come with them. There are always consequences, consequences to the thoughts that we think. What kind of consequences do you want in life? To a certain degree, you are in some way able, being led by the Spirit of God, to determine some of the consequences in your life. You can't determine what kind of opportunities might be placed before you, not always. But you can determine those decisions and you can experience the consequences that result from those decisions. So there'll be opportunities for decisions this semester. There'll be consequences for our actions this semester. But the Bible teaches, the Rechabites show us, that there will also be rewards for obedience this semester. This semester, you can count on it. You can take it to the bank. There will be rewards for obedience. Look at verse 18. Then Jeremiah said to the house of the Rechabites. You see what he's done? He's gone over here to the Rechabites and he says, hey, let's drink some wine. Drink wine, okay? And they go, no, we don't want any. And he comes back over here to those who are living in Judah. And he says, okay, look, the Rechabites, they didn't drink wine. Why can't you be more like the Rechabites? Why can't you keep your commitment like they did? Why can't you make a promise and stick to it? And we don't really know what they say. So then he goes back over here to the Rechabites and he speaks to them in verse 18. Notice what he says. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, because you have obeyed the command of Jonadab your father, kept all his commands and done according to all that he commanded you. Therefore, there it is again. There's that word, therefore. Therefore, verse 19, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Jonadab, the son of Rechab, shall not lack a man to stand before me always. You see what God did? Through the prophet Jeremiah, God blessed the Rechabites. God communicated to the Rechabites that he was going to bless them because of the obedience which they had shown. This is not some kind of linear obedience equals blessing kind of thing, but it does show us that God does not forget the faithfulness of his people. God does not forget when his people are faithful. Maybe last semester, maybe last fall, you were trying to walk this certain road and you were trying to be this certain kind of person. And maybe this semester, last semester, you were seeking to follow the Lord and in some ways you felt very alone. Even on this Christian campus, it happens. Maybe you felt as though, you know what, I'm just not sure that being obedient is worth it. I mean, I know I'm supposed to keep these commitments and I know I'm supposed to follow the Lord, but you know, when I look around and I see what's happening and I see other people living the way they want to, is it really worth it? You know, no one really understands that commitment. I'm sure that the leaders of the Rechabites said, no one really understands that commitment that we made 2.5 centuries ago. And sometimes we're like the Rechabites. The culture that we live in, the world that we live in, the people who live in our own dorms don't understand the commitments that we have, the commitments of the Lord sometimes. But you know what? God will reward obedience. It may not seem like it. It may seem in the present as though it is ludicrous to be obedient, to remain true to your commitments. But God rewards obedience. And just as there was a therefore among those who lived in Judah, and just as though there was a therefore among those who were called the Rechabites, there is a therefore for you and for me. There are rewards for obedience. And as we follow the Lord this semester, and as you take advantage of the opportunities that God has given you to come to this place, to study, to be around some of the most tremendous people in the country who urge you, who lead you on towards God. Let me encourage you. Look to the Lord. Do what you know is right. Remain true and faithful to God. And He will. He will reward you for your obedience. No, I don't know what's going to happen this semester. Some of you are going to experience some of the greatest days in your life. Some of us this semester may experience some of the most tragic days of our lives this far. We don't know. But I can guarantee you, there'll be opportunities for decisions. And how you handle those opportunities will bring about consequences for your actions. The actions that you commit this semester in the classroom, in the CAF, in the intramural field, there'll be consequences. There'll also be rewards for obedience. God does not forget the faithfulness of His people. Let's pray together. Lord God, we are so thankful this morning that You give us the opportunity to seek You. We seek You not because of anything good or right in us, but we seek You because You have opened our eyes to who You are. You've revealed Yourself. You've placed Your Spirit inside of us, and You have given us a heart for Yourself. And we look to You this morning. And as we think about this semester that lies before us, Lord, we commit ourselves to You. All that we do, our schoolwork, our leisure, everything that happens, God, we want it to be a reflection of who You are. We pray that You would make us good stewards. Lord, that we would handle the opportunities that come our way in a way that is Christian, in a way that's right. And Father, we pray that You might help us to live lives that are true and committed. And Father, in some ways we pray that You might make us like the Rechabites, committed and faithful. And Father, like the Rechabites, we pray that our lives would be an example to others, an example of truth, an example of Christianity, an example of grace, an example of commitment. And Father, we're thankful for the way that You are so mindful of Your people. That we are not orphans. We are not alone. You are here with us. And it is with great hope and joy that we think about that wonderful day when we will experience You in full, when we will see You face to face, when we will stand before Your throne. And Father, we pray that we might live lives that are worthy of Your calling on us. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.